Listen, we are not defeated. We will never be defeated because we can't be defeated. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we don't go through pain. I'm not saying we don't go through suffering. But I promise you this, on the darkest day of your life, no matter what you're facing, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day to you, and once again, we welcome you to the daily broadcast of Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Ephesians with the conclusion to the message, Know His Methods. Let's listen in.
The promise of Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, he says, therefore, be strong in yourself, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means that power that we have from God is God's will that you stand. You can do it. If God says you can stand, believe me, you can stand. And you know why you can stand? Because the wicked one touches us not. First, what is it? Thessalonians 3:3. What is it? Oh, the Lord is faithful, who will establish us and guard us from the wicked one. Amen? I'm guarded. I'm being guarded right now. I wish he would guard me from sheep, but you know, I'm guarded. I'm joking. Come on. Got to have a little humor on the front row here. No, come on, guys. You know, God said, my son died for him, for her. They're the sheep of my pasture. I'm guarding them. I'm guarding them all the days of their life. Listen, we don't have to be afraid of anything, especially the wicked one. Loved one, listen to me. We are no longer under the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we have been delivered, or we have been rescued from the power of darkness and transported over, remember, into the kingdom of his son. We got kicked out. We now belong to God, and we can never go back again. Amen? So you don't need to be afraid at all, but I'll tell you what you do need to be afraid of. Is this about knowing his methods. And that is, knowing God's word is one thing, okay? I mean, loved one, listen, we can know Luke 10:19. Remember what Jesus said? I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. Luke 10:19. Remember the disciples returned. Jesus had sent them out and they returned and said, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And he says, but do not rejoice in this. He said, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he says, behold, I give you authority over the serpent, over the wicked one, and he will and by no means hurt you. Amen? See, now we have that scripture, and it's wonderful. You need to know that scripture. When we know that John 10:10, that, man, am I stuttering? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come, you might have life more abundantly. We know all those. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll run from you. 1 Peter or 2 Peter, wherever it is, 5:9, it says, be sober, have self-control, be sober, be vigilant, stay awake, be on guard. For your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. It's good to know all of those scriptures, but listen to me now. That's not enough. That's not enough in warfare. You have to believe those scriptures. Do you understand? You have to believe them. It's more than knowing John 8:44, where he was a murderer from the beginning, a sinner from the beginning. There's no truth in him. He can't speak the truth and so forth, that he's a father of every lie and every liar. You have to have more than that. You have to. And that is so vital in warfare. Do you know the very first year at Calvary Chapel that we had a demon manifest in our service? A demon manifest in a person in our service. And that person started growling while I was teaching. Now, we were only about 30 people back then. You know, this is the very first year. And all, I'm going, wow. Was that one of the elders or, and I thought it was a joke. And then I realized it wasn't a joke. And then, you know what happened? You talk about emptying a church. There was no hugs or anything. They're gone. And I was left there with that individual. And I went and got the two of the elders. And I said, you guys take care of this. I'm going to Luby's for lunch. About 3 hours later, the individual, through much intercession and the removal or displacement of that demonic person, whatever it was, she, he, her, him, whatever, came to their, they talked normal instead of, it was terrible the way they were talking. Where am I? What's going on? And I said, it's Jesus Christ. He must be your Lord. He must be your Savior right now. Led her to Christ, totally set free. And that person, now this is nearly 30 years, this person's in the ministry still today. Amen? You, but see, it's real. You have to learn. You have to know. Listen, the devil wants to do something to you. What he did in the Old Testament, what he wants to do in the Great Tribulation period to the saints of God, he wants to do to you right now. The Bible says in Daniel 7:25, I believe it is, it talks about the devil or this Antichrist that's coming. He's going to speak great pompous words against the Most High God. And it says he's going to persecute the saints of God. Well, the word persecute there means to wear them out. Listen, that's his goal. He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear you out in this pandemic. He wants to wear you out every day. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. And you need to know his methods, because what he does, he wants to mentally put you in a place or find you in that place where you mentally, he wants to shape the way you're thinking. You see, we have a problem, all of us, and we have to learn to fight through it and get away from it, and that we look at our circumstances so much that we feel like we're defeated. Listen, we are not defeated. We will never be defeated because we can't be defeated. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we don't go through pain. I'm not saying we don't go through suffering. But I promise you this, on the darkest day of your life, no matter what you're facing, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible teaches that. We don't have to, I'm not saying deny our circumstances, but all of those things. See, the devil wants to shape the way you think, because he knows this scripture in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in himself, so he is. You know as well as I do, we have to beware of wrong focus. It's a tactic of the devil. For example, you can be driving down the road. You can be maybe even singing a great Christian song that's on your radio or your CD or whatever, or your iPhone. Today, you can have it any way you want. And immediately, unknown to you, it just hits you and a past sin comes into your mind. Has that ever happened to you? And it could be 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 50 years ago. And it just, all of a sudden, you start reviewing your past life. Listen, he loves that. He wants you right there. You have to beware of wrong focus, and you have to always be in right focus. In other words, okay, yeah, I did all of those things, but guess what? My sins are not only forgiven, my sins are not only as far as the east is from the west. Loved one, your sin and my sin has been completely forgotten by God. Why would I want to think about what God has already forgiven and forgotten? Amen? Therefore, Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not going to go to the judge for our sins. Jesus paid for our sins. So we have to be so careful. He wants you to focus on death, not life. He wants you to focus all the time on, I'm being defeated or something, or things are not working out. He wants self-pity to rule in your heart and all those kinds of things. That is wrong thinking. He wants to shape the way you think. We're in a war. He attacks the mind, and we have to do those things. He wants you to look at everything in the pandemic so much that you're no longer looking to the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. And certainly, he doesn't want you to look at the Word. He wants you to fold your Bible. He wants you to keep it closed. He doesn't want you to open it. That's what he does, loved one. And there's another tactic. Boy, and I know this one, fear. You have to beware of fear. And I'll tell you why. Because God is not there. God is not there. Do you understand me? There are more fear nots in the Bible than you can imagine. We're not to walk in fear. But I'll tell you who is in fear. I'm not talking about healthy fear. I'm talking about unhealthy fear. Amen? I'll tell you who's there in that darkness, and that's the demonic bunch. Man, no, the Bible says that fear hath torment, and it does. God doesn't dwell in fear, loved one. We don't have to be afraid of anything. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. Yeah, and that's what we have. We have to keep that. There's only one person that we are to fear? God. We wouldn't have anything else to worry about. Amen? Now, there's also something else. Let me tell you what I've learned. Just, this is for me, okay? This is for my part. Very transparent right now. And I'm always transparent with you. But I have learned about his methods. You know, that warfare is for life. You know, you never reach a place where you're not tempted. Do you understand? Man, I've studied the Word of God. I know it backwards and forth. I pray 5 hours a day. You know. You never reach a maturity where he stops chasing after you. Do you understand? Setting traps for you. You'll never reach that in your life. You are in warfare until the day you die. The day you close your eyes in death. You understand me? There's a war going on. And so what happens is, year after year after year, the warfare becomes accumulative, okay? See, I always thought, you know, when I was in my early 20s and so forth, and when I went into the pastorate, I thought, you know what, well, you get stronger and stronger and more wisdom and this and that, and that's true, but sometimes it gets worse. You understand? The Lord used to speak to me all the time in my heart. Man, and not that he doesn't speak today, but when you get more down the road, he goes, do I have to keep babying you? Can you not just trust my word? Do I have to speak to you? Do I have to give you an emotion to know that I'm holding on? Come on. You know what I mean. It's a true word. It's time to grow up, Bill. You got to grow up. But here's what happens. Warfare, and you may be under attack right now. Warfare is accumulative. What does that call that? PTSD? That can happen because it just goes on and on. I go to pastors' conferences, and I talk with young pastors, and they get up, and we share after in between breaks, and they go, hey, Bill, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, man. He said, I've been now 7 years. 7 years. We're nearly starving to death, and, you know, we're trying to pastor this church. It's not growing like I want to. We've had dissensions. We've had backbiting. We've even had a split. I've had people that I thought that was on my board that loved me. They put a knife in my back. He said, I'm so disillusioned. And I said, listen to me. I know how it is to start out in the ministry and you have zeal for the Lord, zeal for that work. You work 7 days a week and it's untiring and you love what you do and you love the Lord, but zeal's not enough because you're under attack. And I told that pastor, I said, son, listen to me. You're under a never-ending, constant warfare of teaching and preaching and counseling, neglecting sometimes your family, doing without, not getting the guilt of not giving, all these things. And I said, listen, you have to remember something. You have an ancient foe. He has a lot of experience hurting, deceiving, seducing mankind. And you don't, and I don't. We're only here for a little bit. Amen? No. And I said, son, listen, here's what you must know. And this is one of the greatest things that I learned about spiritual warfare, and is this. Wisdom must come before warfare. There's nothing greater. Wisdom. By all means, get wisdom. Remember what? It's better than rubies. You know, read Proverbs. You have to have wisdom in warfare. Yes, you have to have faith. That's why we have the shield of faith. But you have to have wisdom to operate that. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 20:18, by wise counsel, wage war. Wise counsel, meaning the Word of God, the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:14, there was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it. He besieged it. He built great snares all around it. And there was found in it a poor, wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, rescued the city. Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than warfare. Oh, that's not right. Wisdom is better than the weapons of warfare. See, it's one thing to have knowledge about something. It's another to have wisdom about it. See, wisdom is God's knowledge applied. Amen? Oh, and how important that it is. Let me ask you a crazy question. You know, and this is not a hard answer. The fallen angels or any angels, do they die? No. Well, then how do you fight them? I mean, you can't pull, like I told the first service, you can't pull out the Glock for the flock. Boom. Do you know what I mean? They don't bleed. How in the world what do we do? How does warfare waged? Wisdom. Be who you are. In any situation, wherever you are, be who you are. You are the light of the world. What does light do? It removes the darkness. How do you overcome evil? Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Think about that. How do we get rid of the devil who's oppressing individuals? Acts 10:38. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, who went, for God was with him, and who went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You see what I'm getting at? See, we take the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. Love never fails. If you went and looked at my Bible that I counsel out of, that was one of my early Bibles. I love that old King James Bible. In the front of that Bible, it says this: the only battle that we face in life is one. Only one. Everything that we're facing all the time, only one. Can you build your life on the faithfulness and the integrity of the Word of the living God? And I say, yes, you can. And I can too. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. And here's one more thing that's very, very important about knowing His methods and so forth. And that is this: the enemy greatly desires, the demons, they greatly desire to literally define or try to define your reality. It's so unbelievable. They want to take the circumstances that you're facing in your life right now and define your reality that you are living in. You have to ask yourself a question: who or what in any circumstance, pandemic, whatever it is, we were all hurt at times, all these things, you have to ask yourself, who or what defines my reality? The Word of God or the God of this world? Are you following me? That is so important. See, your warfare is over who controls your reality. So you take the truth of God's Word, you believe it, and you apply it. And yes, that's when you control your reality. Does that make sense? That is so important that you do that. See, I know what it's like. We face these circumstances. I've lost the job. I don't have health insurance. All the way down. Okay, those are circumstances, but there's not one circumstance greater than God. Whenever you are faced with a circumstance and in warfare, here's what you need to do. You need to remember your reality, who you are. Amen? Listen, again, Ephesians 1:3, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Amen? That is a past fact. God has pronounced you blessed, and that is a present reality right this minute in your life. You have to say that. Oh, Bill, look what's happening. I know that, but I'm telling you what, I've been blessed. Not only that, here's my reality. I've been accepted in the beloved. Amen? Let me tell you something else, devil. You know what? Here's the deal. God chose me in Christ before the foundations of the world, before you were ever even created. He chose me. He picked me. He wants me. He's going to keep me. He's going to work through me until the day I see Him. Do you understand? That's your reality. That is your reality right now. You are seated with Christ. God sees you seated with Christ in heavenly places right this minute. That is your position in Christ. He sees you not only redeemed, forgiven, sins gone, buried in the sea of forgiveness. He sees you sealed with the Spirit, which is the down payment, the promise, the installment until the very day the purchased possession goes home to heaven. Oh, loved one, listen. Oh, I tell you, you need to know who you are right now. The devil, he'll do anything. He'll try to define your home life, your work life, your prayer life, your Bible study life, your thinking life, everything. Don't let him do that. Whenever you get a thought that's against the Word of God, what does 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 say to do? Cast it down. Get that lie out of your mind. You live on the truth of God's Word. That's why it's so important when we put on the first piece of armor. Remember the girdle of what? Truth. Man, that's the first piece. You've got to have that in your heart and life. One more thing, or maybe two. Never turn your back. Having done all to stand, run in fear. No, doesn't say that, does it? No, loved one, listen. Put on the whole armor of God. He can't defeat you. You know why? Greater is He who is in you than he that was in this world. What does the Bible tell us? As He is, Jesus is right this minute, seated at the right hand of God. As He is, so are we in this world. Right now, you have to stand. Stand, therefore. And you stand knowing that God is with you. Never turn your back on battle of the wicked one. You know why? There's not any armor back there for your backside. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52:12, I think it is, that God is our rear guard. You can't be in battle, and here we are, we're to stand. It means stand until it's over. You don't flinch, you just stand. Yes, you're going to have pain and all, stand. Now listen to me, don't be Lot's wife. She looked back at what she loved. She looked back at Sodom, turned to a pillar of salt. You know the story. We don't look back. There's no looking back for the Christian because we go from glory to glory. You can't look back. We're going on. Jesus said about this in Luke 9 something, 62. He said, therefore, whoever puts his hand to the plow, right, and turns away or looks back, hand to the plow, you're working for me now. He says, not fit for the kingdom of God. We live in a world of illusions. This world is filled with illusions. And if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you may be in Oregon right now. We have Puerto Rico, people listening all over. You may be in Chicago, you may San Antonio, wherever you might be listening live and even in the chapel. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? And if he's not, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the power of darkness, he is defining your reality. And you don't know it. You don't believe it, but he is. And I say that in love. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us about reality and illusion. It says in 1 John 5:13, my purpose in writing is this, that you would believe in God's Son and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, that you have eternal life if you believe in Jesus. And then he says, the reality and not the illusion. See, illusion is something that deceives, producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Proverbs 14:18, it says, foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion, but wise realists plant their feet on the ground, meaning on the rock upon Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life, will never have life. You'll live the rest of your life under an illusion. Jesus Christ is the true reality. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one makes it to heaven. No one comes before the Father except through Jesus Christ. Listen, the God of this world, he is a light bearer, an angel of light. And you know what he's done? He offers people, he offers mankind a way of life, which is an illusion, a way of life without any relationship with God, without any relationship with Jesus. And here's the problem with that. It seems so real to someone who's lost. It seems so good. And it just seems, this got to be good. It's right. I like it. The Bible tells us very plainly in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right. It seems so perfect to man, but it only leads to death. If you don't know Christ as Lord, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You and listening online, you pray with me. If you don't know Christ, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, I want everybody to pray with me and help me right now. Say, Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And right now, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe in my heart you raised him from the dead. I want you to save me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. You promised, Father, that if I asked Christ to be my Savior, you would save me. Save me now. For I believe in Jesus' name.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with more from his Ephesians series. So please tune in again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. We want to thank you for spending some of your day with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.